Senator Todd.
Thank you.
We're ready
Thank
to you. Hear about Senate Bill 145.
Senate Bill 145 is another sunset bill, and this bill continues the regulation of dialysis care in the Department of Public Health and Environment, and it is scheduled to repeal in September 2019. That's why we need to come forward and say this is important. We need to continue it, and I do believe we have some testimony that can be more thorough in explaining this bill.
Thank you, Senator. Let's see if there's any questions. Any questions from committee? Seeing none, we're going to move into the witness testimony. There's three folks that have signed up, and it looks like Chris Schwab, Deborah Haynes, and then Magna Wagner. Would you please come forward? Megan. Everyone is in support of this bill, so please introduce yourself, who you represent, and then share your testimony, and we will ask questions at the end.
All right. My name's Chris Schwab. I'm the father of a daughter who was on dialysis back in 2000, transplant now. And I've done some volunteer work for Dialysis Ethics and Dialysis Ethics 2. Before I get started, I want to say I've been kind of a pill at the last few of these proceedings I've been to in 2007 and 2012. So I brought some good news for a change. According to the United States Renal Data System, we are at the lowest mortality rate we have ever been, 16%. It is the sort of level we haven't seen since 1979. In other words, dialysis in 2019 is at levels that it should have been in 1980. And we are still a long ways off from the levels seen in countries such as Italy and Japan, where closer to 10%. And don't think about all the years we have spent closer to a 25% mortality rate. Okay, I've tried not to be a pill, but we seem to have been on a downtrend in mortality anyway. They're a positive finish. I did it. Getting to the need for a strong state bill, we may be picking on California today, at least the 2012 California. I wanted to get some more up-to-date stats, but the USRDS, United States Renal Data System I mentioned earlier, has been stingy with their state stats all of a sudden. And what they have been sending me has been garbage. Anyway, California was without a strong state bill around 2012, and I'll say problems occurred, and Deborah Haynes will be addressing more of that later. I wanted to see their outcomes for such things as vascular access infections. Vascular access is often where the needles are stuck, and sepsis, an infection of the blood that can be deadly. I believe the infections are something staff controls to a large extent, and I wanted to see how the two states are doing. But I will say in 2009, we in Colorado started a downtrend in sepsis while California was still going up. I have to wonder if it might have been due to the implementation of our technician bill back then. But regarding the bill, I can add our state checks for tech certification every year, along with the license process of the dialysis clinics, whereas the 2012 California was lucky to check tech certification every 3 years. This looks like a huge hole for clinics to hire unqualified people in California who aren't going to be sticking around at a low-paying job for 3 years anyway. This is the crux of what I had to say about the state bill and the need for what we have in place. I'm looking forward to Deborah's powerful story of the early years of dialysis and what followed, plus what we saw in California at the last sunset review. But before I go, I wanted to thank some of the people who were behind this effort to get this state bill this far, but are no longer with us. George Bradica, president of Front Range Kidney Patient Association, someone I would meet at the Porter Hospital along with the support group. A man who, besides supporting the effort of the certification for techs, loved to help to send the younger patients to prom design specifically for them. Archie Jones passed away this last summer. Besides being a member of FRKPA, he also ran Black Transplants, an effort to encourage transplants in the African-American community. His relaxed manner put a lot of us at ease. And to a lady whose name I wish I knew, who she testified back in 2007. She caught hepatitis from a poorly cleaned dialysis machine. She was a little older and gave our group a little more dignified presence. Actually, I don't know if she is with us or not. If she is with us, then shout out to her. Okay, I wish we would have had somebody else with us. Starla Manwell, former dialysis patient who testified in 2007, since passed away. And, well, someone still with us, but she couldn't be here because of illness. Lorene Hermanis, the retired dialysis nurse, who testified for certification of technicians in 2007-2012. Her expertise and dedication to patients was instrumental in getting this bill passed.
Thank you, Mrs. Wobb. I can tell how difficult that was to share your testimony today.
Yeah, those thank yous were a little tough.
But it's important for us to hear it. Thank you. Who would like to go next? Please introduce yourself and who you represent.
My name is Deborah Hayes, and I'm a former patient here on behalf of current patients. I began hemodialysis in 1985. At that time, almost all of my dialysis technicians were RNs. During my 11 and a half years hooked up to a dialysis machine, I realized how dialysis had changed. From professional, knowledgeable staff with medical backgrounds to facility technicians who often had no medical background at all. When I was on dialysis, almost every patient that I ever knew had diabetes. The number of people with diabetes is on the rise. One of the more serious complications of diabetes is kidney failure. Since diabetics are one of the largest populations on dialysis, the demand for technicians is likely to increase. New jobs are important, but keeping patients safe is more important. What type of training would you want your technician to have if you were diagnosed with failing kidneys and dialysis treatments were the only way you could survive? Dialysis clinics are filled with people who are elderly, quiet, and often plagued with multiple serious medical conditions. A fragile population left at the mercy of whoever will be giving them their next treatment. In contrast, home dialysis is quite different. First, the patient and their partner who does the job of the technician train together for 6 to 8 weeks and is done for compassionate, non-paid reasons. The partner is only responsible for monitoring and caring for a single patient, not three, four, or more patients simultaneously. They also do not spin blood samples, set up other dialysis machines, and take other patients off machines. The pressure of time constraints and expected productivity are non-issues. Rewind to when I was a dialysis patient before the 2007 law was passed. Out of curiosity, I asked a technician one day how long they had trained before they could touch patients. Her answer, 2 weeks. Would you trust a mechanic to fix the brakes on your car who just picked up a wrench for the first time 2 weeks ago? Or someone training to be an electrician to rewire your house after only 2 weeks of training? Dialysis treatments are not optional. Without them, people with kidney failure die. Without this law in place, dialysis patients in our state could literally put their lives in the hands of technicians without the certification requirements currently mandated. This is exactly what was going on before the law went into effect. Dialysis centers were allowed to decide how much training was appropriate or good enough for their technicians. The state of Colorado requires people of Colorado who cut hair or apply artificial fingernails professionally to be licensed. However, dialysis technicians do not need to be licensed, only certified. Without this law, only federal requirements minus the yearly state requirements will be in place to protect patients. I fear what happened in California in 2012 could also happen here. Since 2009, states are required to have some type of certification for dialysis technicians, national or state tests. In California, around 2011, only 56% of the people who took the national test could pass it. Instead of more training, the state came up with their own version of the test. The same people who could not pass a national test but could pass a watered-down state test could legally dialyze patients anyway. One of the good things that has come out of having this bill in place is Chris and I got to meet a couple of weeks ago a current dialysis patient, and we kind of explained who we were and what we were doing and that this bill was up for review. So we kind of wanted to know what was going on with him, what he thought of dialysis, the people who were doing it. And we were greatly surprised to find out that he thought the system was fantastic. He was extremely happy with the quality of care that he got, with the people who stuck him, the nurses. He had absolutely nothing bad to say about anything related to dialysis at all, which was a big shock to me when I think to what happened when I was a patient and how the kind of care that I got and how I was treated and the quality of the people who took care of me. I just don't want this to go away. I don't want this to go away by the wayside and have this kind of be forgotten and not keep this at the forefront, because this is a big deal, and it's a big deal to a lot of people. And as I said before, the rise with diabetes and people who could potentially end up on dialysis is going up all the time.
Thank you. I believe Senator Crowder.
Well, I was just curious. Thank you, Madam Chair. When you talk about your situation, you were talking about California a lot. Mm-hmm. Are you talking about your experiences in California or Colorado?
Those are statistics Those are statistics from the state of California and what was happening at that time.
Yeah, I was somewhat confused.
Senator Crowder?
It wound up
I was
with
somewhat confused about your testimony because you kept talking about California, and I was just trying to figure out what you're trying to say. Thank you.
Well, California, they were allowed to do a state test instead of a national test, and that state test was watered down, and we were trying to point out that in California, you could have a technician working on you who couldn't pass a national test, but they managed to get by on the state test. And I think it's a big concern for a lot of people.
Senator Crowder.
But again, what I'd like to focus on is Colorado.
Yeah, trying to compare the two states. So.
Well, are you insinuating that Colorado has the same issue that California has?
No.
That's
no,
what
we,
I'm
saying. We had a strong bill here. So.
Okay. The way we're being recorded, so I have to introduce whoever's speaking so the people who are listening understand who's talking.
Oh, okay.
So I need to recognize you or Ms. Hayes or whoever's speaking. And the same with the senators. I have to recognize them as well.
Okay. I haven't had enough practice at this. Sorry.
No, I'm glad you're engaged in this topic. It's important. Any further questions for these witnesses before we go to the final person? Please introduce yourself.
Sure. Senator Fields, Chairwoman Fields, this is Megan Wagner. I represent Fresenius, and I'm also speaking on behalf of Travis Berry, who represents DaVita. We are fully supportive of the continuation of the regulation of dialysis technicians. We were supportive originally when it was proposed. I thank these two folks next to me because we definitely don't want to be California. We really appreciate what Colorado has done as far as setting up state regulations that go a little bit that are in line with the federal regulations. So we have state and federal regulations protecting our patients that we take care of, and our dialysis technicians want to be the best of the best. So we're happy to follow these regulations, federal and state regulations, to protect our patients, and happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Let's see if there's any questions. Any questions, committee members? Seeing none, thanks for your time today. Is there anyone else here that would like to testify on Senate Bill 145? Seeing none, we're going to close that portion of the hearing. At this time, the bill is on the table for any action. Is there a motion? Senator Crowder.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 145 to finance with approval of a recommendation.
That is a proper motion. Are there any amendments?
No amendments.
There's no amendments. Miss, any closing remarks? Seeing none, Ms. Haskell, please call the roll.
Senator Crowder.
Yes.
Senator Smallwood.
Aye.
Senator Winter?
Aye.
Senator Pedersen?
Yes.
Madam Chair?
Aye. That passes 5-0. It's on its way to finance. Thank you, committee members.
Thank you
very
much.
To get our work done in 40
Thank
minutes.
Thank you so much for doing this.
Tomorrow we have, I believe, five bills. So I'll see you tomorrow at 1:30.
Keep it going.
We are adjourned.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. But that's